Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガークローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Critical Failure. Check us out at TigerClawTV.com. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/TigerClawRadio. Coming up, this is episode 137. We have the Gaming Beast sitting in with us, actually guest hosting, I should say, taking over for me to tell us all about Blizzard's new game, Overwatch. He's going to help me out since my throat is very sore and it's very painful to talk. I have a couple of headlines here I want to kick out just before we toss it to the first track. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is out for $8, and that's the entirety of what I have to say about that game. The OE is doing bundles now, apparently. Chopper Lifter and the Bard's Tale were bundled together, and the OE is also doing community content integrated with certain games. Their own version of Steam's Steam Workshop, like the game Duck Game, if you're familiar with that, has a level editor. They now have integrated community content, so you can, you know, just download levels or whatever right onto your machine, which is very cool. And that's my headlines. So we're going to kick it over to the first track. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
Push pin my picture to your wall. Frame it in pieces of Argyle. There's a thread for every minute. I miss my chance to begin.
I can feel the pressure building up as I cram it to the top. Coffee can do with letters.
Impossibles singing Plan B here on Tiger Claw Radio. All right, guys, here's Drab going to tell us about Overwatch. Check him out on thenextround.net, and he also has his own website. Stand by for the link. Hold on a second. His own website is... I know it's Gaming Beast. I just want to make sure I get it exactly right. Other Kung Fu Masters. There it is, thegamingbeast.com. Thegamingbeast.com.
Okay, guys, this is your one and only Gaming Beast filling in for Critical Failure and for Tiger Claw Radio, and we are going to talk about a game that Blizzard has announced that is called Overwatch. Now, Overwatch is a completely new game set in a completely new universe, which is kind of weird for Blizzard, because Blizzard tends to stick with their most successful franchises, which is, of course, the Warcraft games and StarCraft and Diablo. Most of their games are set in some form or another in those universes, so it's kind of weird for them to have a completely new and original game. And by new and original, I mean for Blizzard, because, surprise, surprise, I've seen the, there's two trailers that they did. They did a trailer for the storyline, and they did a trailer for gameplay. Now, it's interesting because it's a game that is a multiplayer shooter, and some people in the wiki, it says that it's similar to a MOBA, that you have different characters with different abilities. I didn't see it as such. I thought to myself right away, oh, this is their answer to Team Fortress 2. Now, what do I mean with that? Okay, not because if something is a FPS multiplayer shooter, doesn't make it like TF2. In this case, it is, because it has one of the biggest features of TF2, which is that you have it's a class-based shooter. Okay, and the very even when I saw the trailer, I've seen right away classes, like you had the engineer, you had the sniper, you had the big buff guy with the machine gun and stuff like that. Now, here they have it in a different setting. It's like not just a generic kind of... TF2 doesn't have really a setting other than maybe the personality of the characters, and that you have two random armies set in this really tongue-in-cheek world fighting against each other. You know, so that's most of the setting that you have, if at all, you know. And that's pretty much, you know, it for setting for TF2. But still, the game has a lot of personality and a lot of, you know, different characters and a character as itself. So that is something that I always thought was cool. I mean, TF2 is a cool game, but I'm going away in tangents. So Overwatch, right? The trailer, if you haven't checked it, you know, check it out. It's kind of fun to watch. It's playing the story trailer. It starts out that there was kind of there's the world in the future, and there was an anti-terror organization, kind of a... they kind of reminded me of kind of a like kind of G.I. Joe, also kind of superhero-y kind of team of heroes fighting against the bad guys. And all of them had different personalities and stuff, you know, like characters. And let me see here. And I thought that was kind of appealing. I'm a big superhero fan, and also it felt a little bit like a G.I. Joe. But it was also very, like, how should I say... It was where I felt like it has this kind of this Blizzard design flaw. I don't know. Like, I have something with the design where you have the characters are kind of cartoony looking, where they're like this size, you know, like they have bigger hands or bigger heads, or they're like really skinny. And here I'm just looking at one of the screens, and you got all sorts of guys. You got like this guy, this Japanese archer. He's got a big Yakuza tattoo. You got a robot dude. Apparently the robot dude, I saw in the gameplay trailer, you can transform into a turret. You got a monkey who kind of reminds me of Gorilla Grodd. You got like a cyber ninja, of course. You got a cowboy dude. So it's kind of looking cool. But still the characters feel a little bit too cartoony for me, where it has this... You know, if you like World of Warcraft, you're gonna recognize that. It has like kind of, you know, that feeling. They even have what I think is a future dwarf. You know, he's a dwarf, but from the even's got a hammer, but he's all about tech. You know, he's one of the engineering classes, and you got also the bad guys, because there's like two groups. Now I'm not sure if when you're on the good side that you can only play the good guys, choose from them, and if you're the bad side, you can only choose from the bad side. I'm not quite sure if that's the case, or you can mix and match. You got a really big kind of robot knight looking dude with a really big hammer, and on the bad side you got I'm just listing off here. You've of course like a guy, like an assassin type guy. So you got like pretty much variations on all the classes. The difference here is that you have them as as separate characters, you know, like that's the thing what they think they're pointing out with the MOBA, how they're like, they have names and personalities. In this case, probably also a background story, which probably nobody will care about since it's an online multiplayer shooter. The people who play those, they rarely care about that. I will say the designs are well done. It feels though that it has this, for the most part, this, you know, the exaggerated kind of character feel kind of stuff with it, where it's not as bad as I see in a lot of Warcraft stuff. But, you know, I mean, obviously the dwarf is totally, like, he would fit in World of Warcraft easily. And nothing against dwarves. I like my dwarves. And even also Techno-Dwarf, I think, is a cool idea. I'm guessing, sure, they're going to add in new characters. Maybe have cameo characters from different games. I'm guessing also World of Warcraft and Diablo and stuff. Like, who knows what the future holds. Because I'm not quite sure if some of them, the characters, are dimensional travelers and all this stuff, but it really doesn't matter, because what I've seen of the game, it's very much a Team Fortress kind of copy game. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to have more MOBA elements to it that you can, because then it would be basically like, you know, defending points again, like that's also in Team Fortress. I don't know if it's going to be like a combination of that, but do I have a problem that is a team for that is very much in many ways rips off Team Fortress? No, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's just more it's their take on it. It could be good. It's like when they're trying to get into a market, into a game market they haven't quite conquered yet. It's kind of funny that if you think about it, that Blizzard, in many ways, the mod, the first Dota game, the first MOBA game, was a mod for Warcraft 3. And Blizzard doesn't have their own MOBA, you know, or Dota. You know, they don't have the first MOBA other than a mod, you know, because Dota 2 is separate from that. It's Dota 2. And you have Overwatch, and I don't know. It's like they're kind of maybe throwing down the gauntlet to Steam, because Steam is definitely becoming bigger and bigger. And Blizzard is a juggernaut of a game publisher and developer. Nobody questions that. Or Activision Blizzard, as they're known now. And, man, I remember Blizzard when they did other games. But as again, I'm going into tangent territory. What can be still said about this game? I mean, it looks kind of cool. In the storyline, just quick, the storyline, there was this group called Overwatch, and they defended the world from evil, blah, blah, blah. Then, I guess, they retired because they defeated evil, kind of something. And then it starts out, there's these two kids, these two boys in a museum, and you got the younger kid who's really excited, and he's like, kind of feels like a Pixar movie. I think they're kind of thinking about making this into a media franchise, possibly, with movies and stuff, and toys and everything. It would definitely be, you know, a possibility, you know, because the characters really look like if they would be like kind of a modern reiteration of G.I. Joe and the Justice League, kind of something like that. And, you know, the younger kid's really excited. He's talking about his favorite guy, which is like a intelligent gorilla, kind of like Gorilla Grodd. That's what he reminds me of. And there was his gauntlet. And then suddenly, of course, two of the bad guys appear, and then two of the good guys appear. The bad guys, there's this cloaked dude, he's like, you know, the super evil dude, I guess, he's the assassin guy, and he's got kind of a cloak and a mask, he looks like a Sith or something, and then you got this purple chick, you know, kind of a femme fatale, she's a sniper, I guess, and then the two good guys is you have the gorilla guy, and some, like, really fast chick with short hair. And I guess she's British because the cavalry has arrived, that's her saying. It felt kind of cool. Like, I could see this. I wouldn't mind that seeing this as a full movie. But who knows? You know, it was really well made. But the game itself, I find, like, wasting a deeper storyline for a multiplayer game is kind of wasted. You know, like, I would have rather seen this as, like, a, like something like Borderlands, where it has a story, but you can join in a multiplayer. Like, I don't know, but maybe I'm wrong. What do I know about, you know? Really. I am interested in one way. On the other way, it's going to be another game, and I don't know if there's going to be microtransactions. There probably is. I really hope it's not pay to win, but more like, you know, maybe it's going to be like how you cannot play every character, like Dota or League of Legends, but it's like it cycles through, and those that want to play their favorite character, they all have to pay for that, which I could live with. Other than that, yeah, what can still be said about this game? Okay, here's something interesting still. I'm just reading here the wiki page, you know, good old wiki research. Basically, you got this, the co-founder, Michael Morhaime, and he's saying that, and this is literally his quote, "Overwatch is intended to create an awesome FPS experience that's more accessible to a much wider audience while delivering the action and depth that shooter fans love." What do you mean by much wider, like, audience? I mean, fucking shooters are the most played games ever, especially multiplayer shooters. And no, I'm not quite sure there, you know. I guess a lot of women play shooters too. I mean, that's a thing. So if he means that, or maybe age, I'm not quite sure here. It's not quite. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe I'm like, whatever. Anyway, Chris Madsen acknowledged that the aspects of the game, such as maps, have continuity with Titan, a canceled MMORPG. Okay, some game that they canceled, and it has elements of it, but it's more like just aesthetic similarities. He wants to keep the game style. They want to keep the game style simple, yada yada, and emphasis on accomplishing goals as a team rather than trying to achieve large amounts of kills. Overwatch will not contain a traditional deathmatch mode. Not a traditional deathmatch mode. Now that is a ball. That is a ballsy thing to do. Not even team deathmatch. Like, I don't really. Okay, maybe not. I'm guessing they're not gonna have the normal, you know, one against one, you know, everybody against everybody deathmatch mode. So again, this feels a lot like Team Fortress again. Metzen stated that we have a long legacy of developing multiplayer games, and it came down to, is it even possible to build a shooter that doesn't feel cynical and that doesn't feel cruel, that doesn't feel nasty? Can you build one that really promotes teamwork and relationship and having fun with your friends and not getting killed with a thrown knife from halfway across the map as soon as you jump in? Oh dear, that sounds very like, oh, let's be together, let's be friends. Okay, whatever. Now, here's another thing. I'm just pretty much reading the wiki article, but it's still interesting. The cast of playable characters in Overwatch is intended to portray diverse, non-sexualized representations of genders and ethnicities, including males, females, and non-human characters such as robots and a gorilla. Okay, I already mentioned those. Jeff Kaplan explained that the industry was clearly in an age where gaming was for everybody, going to say that increasingly people want to feel represented from all walks of life, boys and girls and everybody. We feel indebted to do our best to honor that. Metzen admitted that even his daughter had asked why the characters in a Warcraft cutscene were wearing swimsuits. I guess it's, I mean, in a way it's a good thing. Take it as you will. I won't really comment on that. It's still interesting to note that that was something that that they found important to do. So that's all I'm going to say. This is pretty much the game. This is Overwatch, and it should come out soon on the PC. Well, I don't know when, probably next year. And yeah, I'm interested to see where it's going. But anyway, this was the Gaming Beast for Tiger Claw Radio for a Death Mug of Doom, fellow Beastians.
I suck cocks, and listen to Tiger Claw Radio.
Yes, friends, back again. Oh boy, throat still feels like crap. Good old Rocco bailing me out on that one. Once again, check him out on thegamingbeast.com, also thenextround.net, one of our good friends. I hate using the word R in reference to a podcast that's just one person. One of our here at the TCR company. But anyway, thanks to Robker for filling in. So over the past week, I've still been playing a lot of NimbleQuest. I'm still hooked on that. 49 cents, got it last month. It's my favorite game now. What can I say? I gave 8-Bit Commando a try, and I remember playing that around when it came out. You know, I liked it when I played it first, but now better side-scrolling, what do you call it, classic. I'm trying to avoid using the word retro, but retro-style run-and-gun games have come out since then. Still not bad. I've tried Murder Miners. Murder Miners went down to $1. I think I might have talked about this in the last show, but good game. Still playing Blood. Drabka and I have been involved in a play-by-email game of Age of Wonders, which has been pretty good. Age of Wonders has a email wrapper program, which makes it so that we can send the turns back and forth automatically, which has been a lot of fun. Also playing through Metal Slug 3, which is a good game, but I still haven't been able to beat it yet. I think that's about it. That's it. I played Cloudberry Kingdom for most of the afternoon with my son today, but apart from that, you guys know me, same old, same old. That being said, what time is it, ladies and gentlemen?
It's time for the fail bag.
Yes, friends, it's time for the fail bag. It's that fantabulous form of entertainment called the fail bag. That's right. We read your questions, comments, whatever you got. If you would have anything that you want to hear answered on the show, write in to tigerclawradio@yahoo.com. tigerclawradio@yahoo.com is the official TCR email. Also, head over to tigerclawtv.com. Find any post, you know, where this podcast is distributed. Just leave a comment, and I'll take it down and potentially read it here in the air. Now, Actually, I better pop into Facebook just to make sure. But these past few weeks have been very odd because numbers-wise, we're doing very well, but haven't gotten very many comments, which is just fine. It's just fine. You don't have any podcast homework. I hate it when people try and make me feel like I do. So no worries there. I have an ace in my sleeve, and that's this. Back when TCR started, if you guys have been listening the past few weeks, you've heard all about this. I would go to gamefaqs.com and take down whatever was there, whatever topics sounded interesting enough, and just read them as if they were letters, written into the show. Now, this was done with full disclosure. I never tried to fool people or anything like that, but it was just a fun way to give me something to respond to. And and it also really helped in terms of getting me to talk about things, think about things, and go places that I probably wouldn't have otherwise if I'm just writing up the agenda and the program all on my own. So here we go. As has been the case of the last month or so, tonight's questions all come from 8chan. And we begin with Anon, who writes in, "What's the hardest game you've ever played?" I think we did this last week. Somebody asked a similar question. We were looking for hard PC games, and they liked Dark Souls, but it wasn't hard enough. So if I were to come up with a different answer, what'd I say? Man, Super Cyborg is pretty freaking hard. Super Cyborg I was talking about running retro run-and-gun shooters for the PC earlier. Well, this is one of them. And I think this took the crown away from 8-Bit Commando as best one. It's extremely, extremely difficult, but it's also a very, very good time. So if you're looking for something hard to play that doesn't cost a lot either, because I think full price it's only like $3 tops. Not an expensive game. And I got it off indiegamestand.net for $1, and I've seen it bundled since then as well, so Super Cyborg, I'm sure it's in the Desora library as well. That's a very difficult game that I enjoy. I think it was the hardest game I've ever played. Hardest game I played lately, apart from that, would probably be Mega Man 9. I gave Mega Man 9 a shot a couple of weeks ago, and I was just like, whew, Jesus Christ, no wonder I haven't got it. I don't remember. Yeah, there's a reason why I've never beat that game, because it is really hard. All right, next comment comes from Anon, who writes, video games, in quotations, video games are an important medium for human expression. My deep story and cinematic cutscenes, my interactive movie about lesbians. Miyamoto was right. Crap like this is why we got shit like The Last of Us, Gone Home, and Beyond Two Souls and Journey. Fuck off. Let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, are we talking about the whole concept of using games as a medium for expression, or like the games as art discussion, or are you just saying you don't like these particular games, or what? I mean, because the games he lists, particularly Gone Home, are spectacularly well known for being garbage. And I agree with you that they are as such, but I don't think it's fair to say that's just because people who, you know, devs exploring the use of video games as an expression. And this is the example that I thought of. Using video games as an expression in and of itself alone is a formula to come up with shitty games. That may be true, but I also feel like it has to be done so that we can see what happens. We can research that particular technique as an industry. If you look at painting, all right, there was an example that we learned in art history where Monet sat in front of, I think it was the Parliament, and he painted the Parliament in different colors, and he did it like 20 times or something like that. And the idea was to, he was researching the effect that colors could portray the horizon or the light or something. It was a technical bit of research as well as, you know, a painting. So yeah, I'm sure at some point he was fucking tired of painting the goddamn Parliament, but there was something that, you know, could be drawn from that, that painters later on were able to look at this and say, okay, he was able to make this particular painting of the Parliament look like, you know, dusk, but he used bright blue and bright orange instead of dark colors or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can look at Gone Home and say, yeah, this is a fucking awful game that there's no reason to ever play. However, maybe they did this, or maybe it's awful for this reason, so if you want to do a story-type game, you can do it this way. I don't know. That's a slippery slope, because it's tough to say, oh yeah, it's okay for this game to exist because we need awful games. Because no, I'd much rather see people putting their time and effort into games that are worth playing. But you got to try new things, okay? In cooking, all right, my wife makes some really damn good food. But a lot of the food she makes, you know, she has come across by experimentation, you know, trying new things. And sometimes that comes across in the form of really fucking disgusting casseroles. You never know. It happens. That, in my heart, is where I like to think, I like to believe these games lie. Yes, they're no good. You know, there's a lot of really awful games made in the name of art. Although, I'd like to exempt Journey from this, because I haven't played Journey yet, and I've heard that's actually not bad. But, I mean, come on. Are we learning anything from that? You know, maybe you can take a game that's fun to play mechanically, you know, like Super Cyborg. 0% art in that game. 100% rooty tooty point and shooty, let's have a good time. But maybe you can take some of those artistic theories and apply them to a game that's fun mechanically, right? So that the player is playing, you know, the entertaining mechanics, but is also given an atmosphere that kind of spoon feeds them something worth looking at. And then that way you have something that's can be interpreted two different ways. Oh yeah, it's fun to play, but who gives a shit where I'm dropped or what the atmosphere is. Or you could also have it, oh, this is art, you know, OMG, whatever. So they're bad games, but I don't want you to be, don't despair, all right? These types of artistic games that are no good And not all artistic games are no good, by the way. But these particular types, they're devs are learning from each other, okay? And they're not the only kind of games being made. So don't despair. I guess, in short, my answer is fuck you too. How about that? okay. Next we come... Oh, here's a good one. I happened upon a flight stick today outside someone's house. If it's not haunted or infected with gonorrhea, what games should would be good with it? Flight sticks, man. Let's see. Well, the easy out, I guess, should be said. We've got Free Space 1 and 2, which is available on GOG.com as well as Steam now. And on top of that, there's the Wing Commander series. Wing Commander is available on several different places. GOG's got 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, and then 3 and 4 are also available on Origin for cheaper. Here's the slippery slope about that. I don't want to get into a big thing about Origin, but Origin has classic games available for $5. GOG has classic games available for $6 or $10, right? So Wing Commander 3 and 4 are cheaper on Origin. Wing Commander 1 and 2 are cheaper on GOG because they're packaged together. So that's the quick rundown. I'll get into that more another time, but every one of these distributors has games that they sell better than anyone else and deals that are absolutely awful. So that's the best way to get Wing Commander right now from Digital Distro. Those are good with a flight stick. There's a game called Allegiance, which is supposedly like a multiplayer arena kind of shooter, but it's a space sim multiplayer arena shooter, you know, like Wing Commander or something like that, that you play with a flight stick. I've got that downloaded and installed. I got a friend who swore up and down by that game and said we should try it again. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And it's still online as well. But I couldn't get my friend to actually hunker down and play it. So Allegiance is a thing. Look into it if you feel like it. If you don't, whatever. Commonly what I actually use my flight stick for, the X series, X2, I play with a flight stick. I play that game with a flight stick and a keyboard combination because you can pilot the ship with a flight stick, but laying in the commands, the X series of games are really complicated. You're building stations and you're trading goods and stuff a lot more than you're actually involved in space combat. So I use my flight stick to pilot the ship, but then I have to revert back to the keyboard and stuff sometimes. I actually like it. It feels a little bit more like you're in the cockpit of a spaceship. Because let's face it, a spaceship, especially one available, you know, one that has the ability to do some of the stuff you can do in that game, would have a pretty pretty complicated console. And I kind of get that. Alex Swingle, I know you hate this word. Immersion. It gives me that immersion. So I recommend the X series of games. Although, if you're using a flight stick, that's limited to X and X2. Beyond that, they ditch the cockpit view and it becomes third-person chase. So I understand. What else? I know there's other games, but Wing Commander Free Space and the X series, those are like the golden ticket games. Those, you know, I have in my Steam collection, in my categories, I have a category that's labeled Flight Stick. Let me just pop in and see what it's got on it. Let's see, Summer Sale, Safe for New Computer, Needs Controller, Local Multi, Grand Strategy, Flight Stick. Here we go. And it just has the X games, X-Tension, Beyond the Frontier, X2, X3, Terrain Conflict, and Albion Prelude. Just the X games. I thought there was more than that, but I guess there isn't. Oh well, at least not in my Steam library anyway. Okay, the next question comes in from Anon and says, Master of Magic, proper remake, when? I don't care if it's just a copy with changed names and shittier graphics like Xenonauts to XCOM. I want to play this fucker online and with faster reacting interface without hemorrhoids. Master of Magic. Man, that is a game I have not heard Anon swoon over ever. Ever. I have that game. I do. I got it from GOG a good while back because I like strategy games. And I like old games, so right up my alley, right? But the interface was a little bit too clunky for me, and I got it at the same time as other good games. So it got swept under the rug and ultimately backlogged. But yeah, man. Remake ahoy, right? reading this wanted me to go back and give it a try. It's like if you, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but if you have a game in your backlog and you hear somebody mention it or swoon over it, then it kind of gives you the drive, at least a little bit, to go back and give it a shot, right? Well, that's Master of Magic for me. Our final question from Anon is, what is the game that you realized was a waste of money 30 seconds in? Well, let's see. Let's just keep this isolated to Steam for simplicity's sake. What is an awful game that I got on Steam? Here we go. And Yet It Moves, Apox, Bad Rats, The Ball, Beep, Blocks That Matter, Spring Pipe, A Plunge Into Humanity, Bunch of Heroes, Commandos, Behind Enemy Lines, Behind Call of Duty, Commandos 2, Commandos 3, DEF CON, Doc Clock, The Sandwich of Time, Eats, Gish, The Great Art Race, Grid, Grid Runner Revolution, Hacker Evolution Untold and and Duality, Hammer Fight. It's Fight, right? Not Flight. Yeah, Hammer Fight, Home, Indie Game the Movie. Yes, that's a game, at least in my Steam library it is. Lugaru HD, Newman, Contest of Heroes, The Path, The Polynomial, The Post-Apocalyptic Mayhem, Rip, Rip 2, Rip 3, Sarah, Sam Ross 2, Snuggle Truck, Space Camp, Uplink, World Basketball Manager 2010, Your Doodles Are Bugged, Zombie Shooter and Zombie Shooter 2. There you go. Now, to be fair, people tell me I need to give DEF CON, Uplink, and Space Camp another try, but I at least when I tried those games before, I couldn't get down with them. DEF CON seemed like it might have been fun at another time, but... whatever. That's my buyer's remorse general for Steam. And you know what? My backlog on Steam is big enough. If I go back and play it more, I'm sure that list is just gonna grow. Steam's got a bunch of sales just around the corner. I'm mentioning this every episode now. But I started doing something amongst my Steam games that has helped a lot in cutting down the oversized backlog. There tends to be a big influx of games, at least for me. For most heavy Steam users, that can be the case as well. I started making a category for that specific sale. For example, I have a category that reads Halloween 2014. Okay, so I can look, and then I have a clear picture of what I picked up the past Halloween sale, what I have and haven't played. It makes it easier to manage my backlog. Got a few games I haven't played yet, right? I picked up the entire Painkiller, series. That's 5 games plus DLC for the one game I already had, because there's 6 games in the series. I've only played the original, you know, so a lot of games I haven't played yet. Looks like there's 2, Shang-Gui and Amazing Princess Sarah, 2 games I haven't played that I have installed. So, good thing I took a look at that. Going further back, I've got the summer sale from 2014. Let's take a look if there's anything here I haven't played yet. Actually, this isn't so bad. Amputee I played and really liked. Block Story I didn't care much for, but at least I played it and tried it and found out. Blockland, to differentiate between Blockland and Block Story, Block Story is a shitty Minecraft clone, obviously made for phones. Blockland is a Lego-based game, much more like actual Lego than Minecraft. Okay, so just to reiterate, Block Story, total shit. Blockland, actually a pretty decent game, especially for young folks. So I got 2 copies of that game, and I've landed with my son a little bit. That's a good game. I played Check vs. Mate some. Descent, I remember playing that for the first time and trying it. Great game, Descent is. Ah, yes! Descent is another great flight stick game. I didn't play it with a flight stick myself. But the whole time I was playing, I was like, man, if I took the time to configure it, this would be a top-tier flight game. So I got that, and I got the original Free Space on that trip, but I haven't played Free Space at all because I've had it on GOG previously, and that's got some time in it. I think I might have played all these games. Divine Cybermancy I got this last summer. Here's one. Endless Space, which I've played for about 8 hours, but I bought the DLC finally for Endless Space. It's a very expensive DLC, but it went on sale for, I don't know, it was like $1 or something, so I picked it up. But I haven't played Endless Space since then, so that's one I haven't played. See, this is why it's a good idea to have... sorry, I gotta wrap this up because it's starting to hurt my throat. But to have this sort of sale-based division, so I can find games like this. It's like, oh yeah, I should have played that. Apart from that, I got Riven. I haven't played Riven yet. I haven't even installed it yet. But that's okay. I have gone back to play Myst. I had this idea. Dorabka, who was on the show earlier, is much more about this than I am. When you have a series of games, 1, 2, 3, he likes to play 1 and play it through before he goes to 2. He likes to play 2 and play it to the end before he goes to number 3. I'm not like that with all games. But with Myst, I think I am. I want to play through Myst before I get to Riven, especially since I enjoy the original Myst so much. However, so few people actually beat Myst that I'll probably just break down and try it eventually. But not right now. I think that's most of what I got for... Yeah, I also picked up Skullgirls, which, surprisingly, only has about 4 minutes into it. But to be fair, I have Skullgirls on the PlayStation 3, so... That game does have time, just not my Steam version. And I can't wait to get a third category, because before this past summer, I wasn't doing these sales-specific categories on Steam. Steam's changed a lot in the last year, man. A lot of updates to the client. They've added music, which I haven't messed around with at all, but I remember when they first added it. Even since then, they've changed it so that when you're in-game and you press Shift-Tab to go to the Steam overlay, there's a music app there that can run an MP3 right from the overlay. Personally, I mean, I don't use Windows Media Player. I use Winamp. So because of that, I never have a problem just alt-tabbing out and starting it myself. But for some people, this might actually end up being a useful bit of software. All right, guys, I'm going to pull the plug early because my throat hurts. Hopefully next week I'll be better. Special thanks to Drop for saving my bacon and, you know, basically giving me... If it wasn't for him, there might not have been a TCR this week. So thanks, man. Check us out at TigerClawTV.com. Remember, TigerClawRadio@Yahoo.com. That's the email. Write in, guys. I want to hear from you. I like to hear from you. But, you know, if you don't, whatever, it gives a shit. I know, I'm a friendly guy. Consider dropping $1 or $2 into the hat at TigerClawTV.com. I use that money to pay for my kids' hospital bills, so anything you can manage to muster would greatly be appreciated. And remember, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, I hope your life is good, and I'll see you guys next Monday.